I am a member of the Historical Committee of the Outrigger Canoe Club, most specifically chairman of the Oral History Subcommittee. A few months ago, I conducted an oral interview with Robert Gill, Rab Gill, the former president of the Outrigger Canoe Club. It was a very interesting interview, and subsequently, in discussions with Rab, he mentioned that there are a couple of things that he would like to have added to his interview. Specifically, one of those with respect to some problems that had arisen during his term of office, which I think is very worthwhile recording. This is October the 2nd, 1998, and Rab and I are in the boardroom of the club on a very beautiful Friday afternoon. How did you enjoy your lunch, Rab?
I enjoyed my lunch immensely, particularly because you bought it. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Let's not make this a habit.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Well, referring to your previous interview, what would you like to add?
Well, I think that the question you asked was, were there any specific challenges or anything like that during my term of office? And actually, the second time I was president in 1985, there really wasn't a lot of challenges. We were in very good financial health and everything, so it was just a normal year. But in 1973, it was an interesting thing because we were having problems with the parking deck and the deflection from aging and some rusting of the rebar in it and things like that. So we had done a number of studies on it to make sure that it was substantial and it was safe. So in the process, we decided that because it wasn't really sufficient for parking for all our members all the time, that we needed to add some additional parking to the top of it. And so the design of it was an interesting design, which I'm very happy we didn't end up doing. But it was 1.5 decks, and it was 1/2 deck up, and then a full deck on the top. And there were two reasons for the design of the full deck on the top. One was we were very concerned about the water that was draining down the ramps onto the deck structure itself, in the lower levels, and causing rust in the rebars and things. And the other thing was that there was a group that wanted tennis courts, and they wanted to put a couple tennis courts up there. And so the design was that we would have 1/2 deck of parking and then a full deck up above that would be able to be used for tennis courts, but would also be able to be used for parking. So the design, that was the design that we actually accepted and sent out for bid and got bids on. We took a very close look at that. And there was a lot of feeling that we should go ahead and build the additional parking structure with the tennis courts up there. I had several reservations about it. After discussing, the tennis court concept with tennis players, they felt that it would be too windy. It was because of the Colony Surf, for one thing, that it would be very windy to be playing tennis up there. Two, the structure would have to have a coating on it that was not only waterproof, but was suitable for playing tennis. And the waterproof coating that was suitable for playing tennis was also going to have to be driven on by automobiles, which could drop oil on it. We were assured that that wasn't a problem, that the oil could be cleaned up and it wouldn't deteriorate the coating. But the cars turning on it, the tires turning on it, would have worn that coating substantially. And so we very possibly could have gotten leakage from that. So that factor was something that I was very concerned about, and I didn't think that it was going to be really as worthwhile as the tennis courts. And if we designed it that way and the tennis courts didn't work, we had kind of a strange design then, because the structure, this full deck structure upstairs, in order to accommodate two tennis courts, had to have a very unusual kind of ramp to go up and down. And it wouldn't have been an easy ramp for older members or a lot of members to be able to navigate. So that was, I felt that kind of design was not really what we wanted. But the really big factor that I think was more of a challenge than anything else was that in late 1973, the fall of 73, was when we had this great oil crisis. And we had gas shortages, and people were standing in line. And as you can remember, maybe in California, they had shootings in the gas station lines because people thought they were being cut out. But anyway, that really was a recession, and it looked like we were maybe sliding into a real depression. And one of the things that had happened to the club was that our guest membership usage and our reciprocal club membership usage had just fallen off to practically nothing. And the membership usage had dropped substantially also. And at that time, we were going to have to borrow the money, $500,000 or so, to build the structure. And I was really concerned that with the recession and the fall off of member usage and revenues, that we really got to the point where we started to hurt. And I was concerned, very concerned, about our taking on an obligation like that, where we would have a substantial mortgage payment to make in a declining market. And so that was really the thing that was, I think, the biggest challenge that I faced in that presidency. And I took the responsibility for killing that at that time. Looking back on it, we could have built it for a third of what we paid to have the other parking decks done a lot of the years afterwards. But the design, I think, of the new parking decks that we do have is far better than the design we would have had before. So looking back on it in 2020 hindsight, I think that it was the right decision at that time. And I'm not really unhappy that I made that that kind of move at that time. So that was kind of it.
I had a couple of questions and an observation. First, the question. Was there any problem with respect to obtaining permission under the height limitations for the structure?
No, the structure would have been exactly the same height as we have now. But and that wasn't a problem. We were able to get variances and things like that. So that was okay.
Okay. Well, now, the second question. Don't you feel that, in view of what has happened over the years, the substantial increase in the usage of the club in recent years, and at least the swimming, canoe paddling, and associated activities, which on occasion demands a great deal of parking space, that isn't it probably better that we have the parking space that we have now rather than be encumbered by a tennis court at the top?
Well, as a matter of fact, we, as I remember it now, have a few more parking spaces than we would have had before. But the tennis court would have been set up so that the nets would have been easily taken down, and it would have been able to accommodate a lot of cars up there. So it was a dual purpose situation, and I think the only thing that I think that was maybe a better design for that original design was the fact that all the water from that top deck flowed off the sides and down the sides, and it shielded the structure, the inner part of the structure, from having any water running down through the ramps and into the parking structure. So I think that was a, that would have been a plus, but there was no way of doing it by the way it was is designed now with the three structures. So what we did is we just had to do a better job of sealing and waterproofing.
Okay, question. Did that design include provision for night tenants?
No. There were no, to my knowledge, there were no lights up there. And one of the reasons for that is that we had enough problems with our neighbors using the lights on the volleyball courts.
Yeah.
That they were not happy about having lights up there. Although, as I think now, the lights could have been directed down instead of up, and it probably wouldn't have been offensive to them. But that was a problem at the time, you're right.
Yeah. I'm one of those that's very happy that you have a parking space rather than tennis courts up there. I think, just looking at what happened, I can see opportunity, I can see occasions where there could be a real conflict in terms of demand for parking and somebody wanted to use the tennis courts. Because you would, what would you have, two tennis courts?
Two tennis courts,
two,
yeah.
Tennis courts. That's not a lot.
No, it wasn't, it was not a lot. And it was trying to satisfy the tennis players in the club who had to go off premises to play tennis.
Yeah.
If we had enough room, it would be great to have tennis courts here, but I don't think they're sitting on the top of a building. I've never really seen tennis courts on the third and fourth floors being really successful. They have them at the Ilikai, and they're not really successful, in my opinion, and I played on them quite a bit.
And we are very competitive prone here to have league play and things of that nature, whereas at hotel, tennis courts on the upper floor is really for the pleasure of their guests.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I think it turned out very well. Well, I've got another couple of questions that we'll have this opportunity for continuation of your interview. I've been very much impressed with the job being done by your sister-in-law as president of the club. And the president, the woman president of the club, and that being...
I was concerned initially when Mary was elected president because I thought that her busy schedule was going to preclude her spending the time that I thought was, she would have to spend here. And it's interesting that just this this morning I talked to John Rader, and John Rader said that he is just tremendously impressed with Mary, of how she handles it, how she juggles everything and gets everything done. I think part of that also is a great help to Mary is having somebody like John Rader, who's a very hands-on, very disciplined manager that has control of everything, and that makes a big difference. Mary is a very, very talented person, and she was on the board when Walt, my son, was president, and was really the one behind designing and putting in the new dining room. And she's done, I think, a marvelous job on that, and I think that's really been a big boon to the club as far as bringing members back and usage of the club. And because she's so talented, she's very international now. She's doing things all over the world. And it amazes me that she can do all the things that she does as well as she does it. And I'm very impressed, as I was talking to John about it this morning, and I'm very impressed with what she's doing as president of the club. I'm very proud of her. And obviously, it's a wonderful thing. I know that her mother and father are extremely happy about it, the fact that she is the first woman president and that she's Walter McFarlane's, Walter Mack's niece. So the tie, the family tie, is really very, very strong in the club.
I can't begin to tell you how delighted I was when she was elected. I remember going up and congratulating her and told her how wonderful I thought it was. And it brought back some memories of she was growing up as a little girl and associations I've had with your family. Speaking of that, I just want to tell you a little story. I wasn't too comfortable. I wouldn't say that. I said I was a little apprehensive. When Walter was made president of the club, he was, you know, he was so outstanding in athletics and paddling and what have you, but I never quite conceived of him, the young man, stepping in and being president of the club at that point in time. And I can always remember we had our annual past president's luncheon, and he made a report, and I was dumbfounded. He did a beautiful job. And he was a damn good president. So I think you should have a lot to be proud of.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's a very nice thing for you to say. You know, I don't think any parent probably really gives their children credit for what they do, because you have kind of an old parent stereotype thinking of what your kids do, and, you know, the problems of, you know, Walt wasn't a sweetheart of a little kid when he was growing up. He got into trouble all over the place.
Took after his father.
Yeah. I hope not. But I was a little apprehensive about him becoming president. I know that he didn't want to be on the board when I was on the board. He felt that would have been kind of a conflict, and I agree with him. I thought that was proper. And when he was elected president, I had really said the same thing, that I thought that he was too young and that he should probably wait some years, and he was struggling starting his business and things like that. So, and I knew what kind of time it took to really do an efficient job. So I really thought that he was, it was a little premature to have him president at the time. I have to say something, and I really appreciate you saying it, but I'm constantly amazed, really, with what Walt has accomplished and what he does, and his feeling for the water and the activities, and how he has gotten into the paddling community. And it's amazing, because I go to different places and people. He used to be known as Rab Gill's son, and now known as Walt Gill's father. And I have mothers of who have children that are paddling and things like that come up and give me a hug and a kiss and tell me that they just absolutely love Walt. So he really has turned out very well, and I'm very proud of him. And I was proud of him also when he was president. Let's say that he was smart enough to have Mary do the dining room.
Oh yeah, that was really. Well, I had some concerns there, particularly when he took up the carpeting on the floor, and it had that tremendous sound problem.
Yeah.
Because that was a deja vu that happened when I was president. We put the carpeting down, but it turned out so beautifully. Walton did a terrific job. Well, you have every right to be very proud of the exploits and accomplishments of all the members of your family as far as their support and contributions to the club are concerned.
But I certainly hope that they appreciate and follow in the footsteps of their Uncle Ward Russell.
The check's in the mail.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that's kind of it. We've talked before about it. The Outrigger experience has been a great experience for me. I will be a member. Well, I've just passed my 51st year as a member of the club, so... I'm trying to last as long as you are, and maybe hit 75 years or something like that.
Well, you know, while we're here, I do have something you might kick around for just a minute. All the rest of the clubs in town are having problems in view of the current economic situation, but at least at this point, as well financially. Have you any concerns about what the economic situation might do to the future of this club?
Not really. The Outrigger is a very unique club. I had dinner at the Pacific Club last Wednesday night, and there had to be at least 10 people in the dining room, maybe 12. One of the things the Outrigger is so unique about is the location. You know, there isn't another club in Honolulu that has anything near this kind of a location. So if you want to go to a wild country club, it's, you know, like very formal dining, but it's a golf club. And Mid-Pack is the same way, and so is Wiley. And the Outrigger, just as being a beach club, is so unique in its location that I think, I had an opportunity last week to run into Ed Hustis up in Waimea. And Ed Hustis is an old family friend, and we were talking, and he had been a member for almost all his life of Oahu Country Club. Now he's living up there next door to his son in Waimea, and we were talking about the Oahu Country Club, and he said that he had resigned from Oahu Country Club because he felt that he didn't treat him right because they wanted him to still pay the minimum for food and beverage, even though he was a non-resident member. And so he said he resigned from that, but he said, "But I won't resign from the Outrigger." So that, I think, is the difference between the clubs. And I think also the Outrigger's attitude toward its members is different. I'm a member of Oahu and Mid-Pack, and I know that at Mid-Pack, I mean, everybody's so worried about money that they don't really, the things that they do for the members is they charge them more money because they're the ones that they can charge the money to. The Outrigger really doesn't look at it that way. It's like looking at a non-resident or an island member, which are all non-resident now, and being happy that we still have them as a member. Whereas these other clubs, if you're off the island, then they really don't care too much about you. And I think I think it's the attitude of the Outrigger toward its members and what it does for its members, and the location of the Outrigger. I think as the economy has been down all this time, I think that's one of the reasons the Outrigger has done so much better and the other clubs haven't done as well. And as the economy improves, hopefully with the right kind of leadership, which we haven't had for a lot of years, then I think even business will get even better.
You know, it's interesting. Little observation here of a poll for Jordan saying the difference between Outrigger and the rest of the clubs, I think it's just in the number of t-shirts worn by people of all walks of life. They know nothing about Outrigger except its reputation. They'll probably never set foot in the Outrigger Canoe Club.
Yeah,
and also, the other thing is by the number of people who were members years ago decided to resign and have come back into the fold.
Yeah, and there are a lot of members that have done that too.
Yeah.
Because the Outrigger is really the unique club in Hawaii.
It sure is.
And if you're a member of it, you're very, very lucky.
Yeah. I was going to touch on another subject, but I don't think it would be great right at this point. I will at least comment as to why I don't want to pursue it a little bit. It's because, as you probably know, we are in the midst of negotiations, or at least I understand the club is in the midst of hopefully finding some way that we could come to terms with the Elks Club with respect to acquiring the lease. And that could be in owning our property involved in the situation. And as such, I don't think I really should comment on the record. I think we could terminate the interview at this point, Robin, because I have some things to ask you about the Elks Club.
Okay, well, I just, my one comment to you then is I hope you have accomplished something, and good luck, because it's been a long, long time in coming.
It sure has. Brad, thank you very much.
What? It's a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you.
Anytime you want to do it again, I'm always available.
I would love to.
Thank you.